Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message. Children,
praise the Lord. Amen. The church quiver is full. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and pray. We're going to get into this message tonight, and we won't be here long. Amen. Dear God, I just thank you to God for the opportunity to hear you speak to us. Oh God, I pray to God that you continue to speak to me. Dear God, that I be attentive to your word. Dear God, and that as we share the word of God tonight, dear God, that lives be impacted and changed, dear God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say, amen, amen. As I was praying and preparing, and like my dad said, as we were fasting, God put a new series in me. It actually really came to fruition today with some things that were happening today, but I'm going to be speaking on a series, a four-part series called The Body. Everybody say The Body. We are all part of the body. And sometimes I feel like we as Christians, we have to, realistically, we have to push past that part of our life where we just want to be by ourselves, right? Christianity, I have in my notes right here, Christianity, when you are alone, it misses the importance of the true essence of Christianity. God is not alone, right? We think about God, he has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When he created man, the one of the things that he saw that he needed to fix, he said, man was alone. Let me give him a helper, right? And you see many times in the Bible, I've preached about Elijah, and he was praying. He was like, God, I feel like I'm alone. But God had to remind him that there was more that were with him. Amen. So many times I believe that the enemy will make you feel like you are alone, will make you feel like you're the only one going through this, or you're the only one that goes through that, or the people in the body of Christ really don't care about me, right? Has anybody ever felt like that? Let's just be honest. Okay, so you felt like you were alone. I remember there's a story. I was working with Pastor Nate and Pastor Gil, and it was a moving day. And this is when I was young in my faith, amen? Actually, I was about like, what, 18, 19, 20. And we had to do some work at the church, and it was just me and the pastors, were older, so they weren't really moving as much stuff. So I remember I was frustrated, like, God, why am I the only one here? And we had more people at the church. But I was like, man, why? And God was like, don't worry about that. Just do this unto me. So that's when I learned to just serve God, regardless of who's around. But God also began to bring in other people. Amen. I really believe that us as believers, when we are alone, that's when we are vulnerable. Amen. When you are alone in this walk with Christ, that's when you're vulnerable. Vulnerable. How do we get alone? Sometimes we go through things and we just try to, you know, let me just keep that on the hush. Let me not tell anybody what I'm going through because they might judge me. Right? Or they might look down upon me, or they might think that I'm not a real Christian. But guess what? Christians fall too. Right? Christians have bad days too, right? We can't sometimes, and this is the thing that we as a body have to make sure that we do. We don't judge you for when you are falling, right? We correct you and help you. There's a scripture in the Bible that when you rebuke somebody, it says, or even when you help somebody that has fallen, you must do it graciously because you never know when you need that same help up. Amen. So we're talking about the body today. We're going to talk about fellowship, because I really believe that if we really understand the true essence of fellowship, and I know I'm using that word, the true meaning of fellowship, then we can walk together as a body of Christ. Amen. Before I get into the scriptures, imagine Elton, since he's back there. If Elton went to school and he didn't know anybody, right? Nobody really spent time with Elton. How would you feel, Elton? Happy or sad? Sad? Yeah, he said sad. Right? If you went to school and you were around a whole bunch of people and nobody talked to you, right? It's almost like, man, they don't even recognize them here. Right? We don't want to do that in the body of Christ. We want you guys to know that you are all included. Amen. Somebody say fellowship. So I remember when I was in high school, I was on a youth retreat. I used to work at the Union Gospel Mission, and they used to take us on these retreats. And the word for that year was fellowship. And really it means fellows, two or more people on the same ship going the same way, right? That's what fellowship is, to be simple. We are all in this boat together going the same way, right? That's the only way fellowship works, okay? For example, the Bible talks about fellowship with the light and the dark. Can't do both because they're going two different ways, right? You ever been in a car and somebody said turn left and somebody said turn right? You can't go both ways. You have to figure out which way you are going to go, amen? But we're going to go, I got two scriptures, and like I said, we will not be here long unless the Holy Spirit tarries. Amen. Let's go to Galatians 1, 18 through 24. And Mike, can you pull that up for me? I'll pull it up on here as well, though. And that was Galatians 1, 18 through 24. Now, I actually read this in my devotional, and I wanted to highlight more of it in my devotional today that I was reading. The very last scripture in this passage, it talks about Paul and the testimony that he had. It said, the one that was persecuted now is sharing the word. And he says, and they praise God for me. Right? Now, why am I going to read this? I'm going to read that in just a second. But I believe that it's important for us as believers to praise God for what's going on in other people's lives. Amen. If Sister Darshine been praying and God moves in that situation, I shouldn't be like, man, God, when's it my turn? Right? We've been around people that are like that, right? I should be like, thank you, Jesus. Like is my blessing, right? Because I'm excited that God moved in my sister's life, right? Now, if there's any animosity, that is not of God. God is not going to make you compare yourself to somebody else. If somebody gets a new, we always like to say a new car, I'm not going to be like, dang, God, when is it my turn? Right? Because that's not the spirit of God. I should praise God for what he is doing in their lives. My wife is so excited that she found another Christian friend at her job. I'm like, praise the Lord. She ain't stopped talking about it yet. I'm like, God is good. Because she's like, man, this young girl, I mean, she's a young girl and she just gave her life to the Lord and she's excited. And when you are around other people and you have true excitement, when God moves in their life, it brings excitement to your life. Amen. So one thing we have to learn to do is praise for what God is doing in their lives. Praise God. Many times we get caught up waiting on our blessings and not praising God for what he's already doing around us. One of the parts of the story that she said, God, if you're real, take this pain from me. And she said, instantly the pain was gone. That should make somebody want to praise God. I heard that. I was like, come on, God. You're doing something powerful for somebody that was, as she said, an atheist that didn't believe in God and said, God, if you're real, touch my body so I know it. And now she knows that God is real. That's a powerful testimony, y'all. Amen. And that should make you want to get, you might get a little rowdy. Yep. It should be like, man, if God, why? Because God, if he did it for her, he can do it for more. Yeah. I mean, how many of us are praying for somebody to get saved? Yeah. Right. Just because it's not your family member that gave their life to God, the angels, it says they are rejoicing. When one person gives their life to God, it's a party in heaven that we ain't seen down here. It's an exciting party. They are praising God because God did something. And guess what? We down here should do the same thing. We should have a praise in us when God moves in somebody else's life. Amen. Let's go ahead and read it. Galatians 1, 18 through 24. And it says, then after 3 years, this is Paul talking, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. Now, it's funny. Why would he put that in the Bible? To show the fellowship he and Peter had. Right? Now, some people would be like, Peter and Paul, they had a lot of disputes. No, they were just trying to get things right. They were trying to figure it out. But it says right here that they were together 15 days. And guess what? I'm pretty sure there was a lot of testimonies about what had been going on. Man, Peter, did you hear? I mean, just imagine Peter and Paul's testimonies to each other. Hey, Paul, guess what? I was walking down the aisle on the way to the thing and my shadow healed somebody. Woo-hoo! Paul's like, oh, okay, I got one too. Guess what I was doing? Da-da-da. You know what I mean? So they were excited because they were amongst each other. And that only happens when you have fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. And he says, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now he says, and it's funny he puts this in there. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. That's just so you guys know he's telling the truth, okay? And then it says, afterwards, after he enjoyed fellowship, he went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. So they didn't know who this guy was, right? He came in. They don't know who he is, but it says in the next verse, but they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Amen. And it says, and they glorified God in me. That scripture, like I said, that was part of my, I was reading a praise devotional, and that just got me excited. Because even though it wasn't them, they were excited and they started praising because of what God did in that man's life. And it's funny, this last in December, we had a lot of testimonies, a couple brothers that were in jail and God released them, right? We had my brother CJ Emulis and then my brother Bishop Freeze share the testimony how they had sentences canceled or sentences released. Amen. And God was, because they surrendered their life to God. And they said, God, listen, and they even said, I didn't pray to get out. I just said, God, have mercy on me. And when he did it, it's like, come on, God, you see what he did. Now, guess what? There's somebody else. I don't know the name of the brother, but my brother that I was fellowshipping today, he told me there was a brother that was facing a charge. He had just surrendered his life a few weeks ago and was like, I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to follow God. He went to that court and he said, I don't know what happened, but the judge dismissed everything. He called my brother crying like, and he's like, that's God. Let's go. He's excited because God is moving in people's lives. And guess what? When God's moving around you and you're excited and praise begins to happen, God's going to do even more. So we must praise when our brothers and sisters are going through something. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. Yeah, preach, boy. That's an excitement that we must have, right? We can't get amongst each other and just share our drama, right? Or our trauma, the things that we're facing, and not share in the praise that we have for God for what they're doing in somebody else's life. Amen? It's very important that we catch this because if we don't, we are not really accessing and understanding what the body looks like. Okay? This is the early church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they were amongst each other. They fellowshiped together. Everything they had was for everybody else. And many were added and they praised God for it. There was constant praise because they understood what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Amen? We have to operate in that kind of fellowship. Amen? I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 21. So Galatians and the next chapter over is Ephesians, or the next book over. Ephesians, when I said 5, verse 18. Verse 8, I'm sorry. And it says this, for you, now this is for everybody, say me. We all once walked in darkness. Amen. I don't care how good of the darkness you were in, you were still in darkness. Okay? Might not have had a horror story, but you were not living for the Lord at one point. Okay? It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Then it says, walk as children of the light. Now, it's interesting here. The Bible doesn't say walk as a child of the light. It says walk as children, which means multiple. Okay? We're talking fellowship here. You have to walk together as children of the light. You cannot be light by yourself and be strong. Right? If we turn all the lights off except for one light, it's not as strong in here as it is if you turn on all the lights. Right? Matter of fact, if we get you get one candle and you're walking around with it and the lights ain't working since we had a windstorm last week. If you walk with that one candle, it only lights up so much of the house. But guess what? So many people want to be that one candle. They don't want to be with somebody else. It's interesting, when you're at a wedding, they put their lights together to symbolize that they're going to walk together, right? You always got the candle ceremony, and you know, at first I was like, why do they do these things? But you learn that symbolizing being together, right? We need to form a yoke of not of bondage, but a yoke of believers that walk as children of the light. Somebody tell your neighbor, you're a child of the light. But we have to be children of the light. We have to walk together. Tell your neighbor, walk together. And it says this, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now let me back up to verse 10 first. It says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You cannot find out what is truly acceptable to God by yourself. Okay? Let me tell you why. Even with the scriptures, even with the commentary, you're going to have times where you think something is going to go this way. For example, all of us did math in school. How many love math? Anybody love math? All right, I got a few. I love math. How many hate math? Go ahead, raise your hand. I can't stand it. All right, cool. Now, guess what? Even all of us that love math or even hated math, there was a time we did a math problem and we got it wrong. Right? Or you were learning something. Like, let's say the very first time you learned algebra, it wasn't just like, oh, I got it. The teacher had to teach you algebra. Right? That's the same thing with God. We have to, it says, to find out what is acceptable to the Lord, or really what it's saying is finding out what is right unto God. You have to learn from other people. Now, that let me be clear. That does not mean you can't study on your own. The Bible says study on your own to show yourself approved. But it also says do not forsake the fellowship of the body of Christ. Right? Because even in your studying, you could get it wrong, and it's really important to have other people around you that be like, no, that's not what it means. And not even harshly. It don't have to be harsh. I don't think that's what God meant when he said that. I think he says this, right? It's important to understand that you need somebody else. And then it says, and have no fellowship. All right, so there, we are supposed to have fellowship, but there is also other things that we cannot fellowship with. All right? Everybody say there's some things we got to stay away from. We have to stay away from. And it says, with the unfruitful works of darkness. What does that mean? When you are doing things that are ungodly, there is no godly fruit in them, right? And it doesn't produce anything but death. I talked about it, I don't know when I said this, but I haven't preached in a while, so I can't remember. But I was talking about sin. Okay, this is when I was at another concert. When you sin, it will feel good for a season, right? But its fruit that it produces is death, right? When you are walking in ungodliness, it does not build you up. It tears you down, right? Because the same things that we did, we had a good time with, sometimes we come back and be like, man, that was foolish, right? You come to yourself and you're like, what was I thinking? If I had another chance, I would be like, I wouldn't do that again, right? We all made mistakes. Amen? Amen? Did we all make mistakes? I mean, people, I don't know, that was just keys. No, we all made mistakes. But it says, do not fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Okay? It doesn't say expose somebody. It exposed the darkness. Expose the deeds of darkness. So when my kids ask me, hey, Dad, how come we don't watch this? Or how come we don't do this? Because that's not building up my spirit, man. That's tearing me down. Hey, Dad, can I go do what everybody else is doing in my school? No. Why? Because in my house, for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what Johnny is over there doing in his house. He's not in my house. And if he was in my house, that time that he's in my house, he's going to serve the Lord, whether he like it or not. Amen. You're going to come to my house and eat my food? We're going to pray first. Amen. Hallelujah. I got any witnesses in here? Amen. But what I'm saying is we have to expose the things that are producing death. How does that happen? That happens amongst people, right? And unfortunately, the church, sometimes they don't do it the right way. I don't believe in exposing somebody from the pulpit. I don't believe in that. First, I believe you must go to them personally, talk to them. Now, if they don't listen and you get another brother, the Bible does say expose them, unfortunately, in front of everybody. But that shouldn't be the first thing. Right? It shouldn't be like, man, I'm getting this guy out the church. I'm coming to preach a sermon today. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Spirit. No, don't do it like that. We need to do it gently. Amen? But sin, we can expose sin together. And that's why we read the Word of God. I was reading some other devotionals. It said, do not forsake reading the Word of God. And it was talking about how today, it's unfortunate many of us in the body that say that we're Christians, we don't have a daily appetite of the Word. Or even if we do, we're basically eating one fruit a day, right? Let me eat one grape a day. If you eat one grape a day, guess what? You will lose a lot of weight. I'm pretty sure. Right? And you'd be like, oh, I'm healthy. No, you're not. You're on a one grape diet a day. But even though we laugh about that, some people are like, I just need one scripture a day. One scripture a day, keep the devil away, right? We even come with nice things, but guess what? There's going to be sometimes you're going to have to dig. You're going to have to dig. God, I'm really trying to find out what direction I need to walk in. Where the Bible says, first of all, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. But you can't catch that if the only scripture you read today was Jesus wept. Right? Jesus wept. Wow, I feel like crying too. My mom over there, crack it up. But no, I'm serious. That's what happens sometimes when we're only on a one, and catch this. If you're not reading any Bible, take one scripture. Start there, okay? I don't want to condemn you because you're not reading the Word of God. But I'm trying to explain to you, you can't feed your flesh more than you feed your spirit, okay? And I'm not even just talking about food, but we feed our flesh with all these other things in life. And then when you're wondering why, man, my spirit, I can't hear from God. Because you're feeding the wrong thing. That's why we had to fast. What you're doing is you're starving your flesh, literally, right? And some of us, we have back pains and all kind of stuff. Like, God, when is this thing going to be over? Lord, I love you. And I always say, God, I love you more than food. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right? Because you could be going through it. I remember one time I was fasting. I started cramping in my back. And, you know, I was at practices with my kids. And I was like, oh, Lord, I just got to sit down because I'm sore everywhere. Right? And I'm like, I just not eat, not even exercise or nothing. But I starve my flesh, and I even say this to myself, I'm doing this so I can get closer to God. I want my spirit to be benefiting from this. So while I fast, I play the word of God. I'll read it, but then I also just play it. Just let it play. And then I listen, oh, wow, that was crazy. That I didn't catch that part of it before, right? So what I'm doing is I'm starting to eat spiritual food, right? Instead of being starved in my spirit, now I'm eating some more. So when I listen to the word, now it's like, oh, man, I didn't catch that before. I read that passage 20, 50, maybe 100, maybe 1,000 times, right? But now I got what it was saying. Why? Because guess what? When you start feeding your spirit, God starts revealing himself to you. The closer you get to God, the more he reveals himself to you. That's why Moses was able to see the backside of God. Now, some people be like, man, he just saw God's back. But it says if you saw his front, you have to die. Right? Moses was so close to God, it changed the way he looked. It says his face was shining. Right? He might have had gold teeth because he was just, he didn't really have gold teeth, but he was in the presence of God and he was shining. Amen? Because he was closer to God. So it says in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 12 says, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed. I'm sorry, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. The only way we see that we are all wrong is through the light. And it said earlier that we are children of the light. So it's going to take some of the people that are children of the light to let people know that they, first of all, are in the darkness and how they can come and become children of the light. Amen? Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Okay? Fellowship in the body of Christ looks like this. We are now children of the light. We walk together. We should have the same spiritual diet, meaning we want and we desire God, right? When I'm around somebody, if somebody's praying, I should be like, man, I love the way my sister or my brother is praying. That should make me want to go pray. It shouldn't make me say, man, why that person praying like that? I can pray better than them. Listen, that's not the spirit of God, right? One thing that I used to do when I was a minister at the other church, Victorious Life Christian Center, with Pastor Nate and Pastor Gil, I would have Precious stand on one side, my sister Nicole stand over here, Sister Chase stand over there, and sometimes my sister Niecy, and I'll be like, you guys all pray at the same time before we start service. You guys all pray. Just pray. But that's what I started. I was like, let's pray. I need prayer for all. Not, I don't need prayer. I do need prayer, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need prayer to open up the heavens, right? So they would all pray, and they didn't need a mic. I'd just be like, go ahead and pray. And sometimes we would pass the mic to one person, pass the mic to the other person. But what it began to do is it would make somebody else that's getting in there, hey, I want to pray too, right? I mean, the things that we see in the natural, we want to get sometimes, right? You had to see that nice pair of shoes before you was like, man, I'm trying to get those, right? If you didn't see it, you're not like, ooh, I can't wait to get those things that I've never seen. You don't really care. So it's even in the things of Christ that happens. When you see somebody praying, it's, oh, man, God, I know you're moving mightily in that person. That means you can move mightily in my life as well. Let me have prayer like that. Let me seek your face. Let me learn from that. Amen? That's the body. Somebody say fellowship. Verse 15 says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And here's a scripture that I've heard a lot growing up. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. First of all, we have time, but a lot of times, sometimes what we operate in is called idle time. Right? Idle times mean I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm trying to figure it out, but I'll sit on the couch and chill. There's nothing wrong with sitting on the couch and chilling. But if your idle time is stronger than your redeeming of the time, there's a problem. Okay? Redeeming time is saying, okay, hey, Sel, chill. He's good. When you redeem time, what you're doing is you're giving it back to God. He redeemed us. What does that mean? He gave us back to God. We were separated from God, and because he redeemed us, now we can have relationship with God. So he brought it back. So what we do is we redeem the time by giving it back to God. God, I want to give you what I have right here. Even if it's this gift, let me give this to you during this time. If it's prayer, if it's study, if it's praying with somebody, if it's fellowshipping, what we are doing right now is redeeming the time. Amen? So it says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise. Somebody say unwise. But understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Now watch how this happens. Even though this one person may be filled with the Spirit, immediately after, it talks about why you are filled with the Spirit. Okay? It says, speaking to one another, somebody say one another, you are filled with the Spirit to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making medley in your heart to God, okay? That's why we are filled with the Spirit. You are not filled with the Spirit to go on your own mission, okay? I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how much you know the word of God. If you have the Spirit of God within you, he will not tell you don't go fellowship with those other believers. He won't say that. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says I received the Spirit of God and I just lived by myself for the rest of my life because I got my own calling and nobody else could tell me nothing. Right? Now, I mean, we laugh about it, but is there people that we know, unfortunately, that, oh, I got a relationship with God, but I don't go to church, though. Right? Church is a little bit. Guess what? Everywhere you go, there's problems. I don't know why it just seems like every time there's a problem, it's only in the church, but I don't believe that's true. Oh, all they want is my money. Well, if you go to Safeway and you don't have money, you ain't getting nothing. Right? Okay, that's one place. Let's name another place. That's a grocery store. Oh, how about I go to the electric company and be like, all you guys want is my money. Well, you don't have lights, brother. Or you better invent something yourself. Right? Oh, okay, let's go somewhere else. Somebody name somewhere else. What's free in this world? Really, what is absolutely free? Air, but nobody controls that, huh? Kisses and hugs. Sometimes they might cost you, unfortunately. Right? Okay, but anyway, love is free at times. But even God's love costs Jesus. Right? Everything that you want to do or everywhere you go, they're going to require money. But sometimes they look at it like it's only the church. Now, I do have to say this. There is some people that are inside the church that manipulate, that hustle, that, what's the word they say? They finesse you for their money, right? Because if you, I mean, have you ever heard somebody say, if you don't pay this right here, if you don't give God this extra amount, you're not going to be blessed? Like, come on, man, how did God make that money payment? Oh, I guess that was like Balaam, right? When he was asking for money and God had to deal with Balaam because that's not how God works. Or let me give another person that was in the Bible, Elisha's servant that came after Elisha. Elisha said, no, I don't want your money. You can't pay for what I got. And the servant was like, wait. No, Elisha said he did. And then what did Elisha say to that person? You perish with that money because you thought you can buy the gifts of God. Okay. So what I'm saying is, even though there are some people that are doing wrong, those are things that we must expose, right? You cannot serve two masters, the Bible says. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Money and riches. That's what mammon is. You cannot serve both God and mammon because the Bible says between the two of them, you will be torn, right? You will be torn between the two of them because money is not always going to coincide with what God wants you to do. There's going to be many times where you're going to have to be like, man, I can get this money or I can do what God says. Right? If you haven't been to one of those situations, just live a little bit longer and it's going to come. Right? For example, me as a music artist, I do not work with, let me say it like this. I will not work with somebody that is not doing gospel music unless God tells me something direct. You need to work with this person. Now, I haven't had that happen yet. It almost happened, right? But I've had people say, man, I'll pay you way more than what everybody else is paying you. I need that track. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. Why? Because I already set my heart in this situation, and I said, God, I'm going to give it to you. Now, I had one time where this secular artist called me up, and it's funny. I'm not going to say his name, but we used to go down outside the clubs and sell our music and really use that as a ministering tool and talk to a lot of people outside the clubs. And while we were doing this, one guy was always, he always acted flashy. Yeah, I got this penthouse over here. I got a Maserati. And he's like, just give me your CD. I was like, no, if you have a penthouse and a Maserati, you could buy my CD. We take debit cards too, right? So every time I seen him, he was just gassing, right? That means he was just saying that every time, all right? He was gassing us up. And I was like, hey, listen, man, chill with that, bro. If you're going to buy a CD, let me know, okay? So about the fourth or fifth time that we saw him, he bought one of the CDs. And I was like, man, I appreciate it, bro. And this is not the first time. Now, listen, I am not like a hustler like that, okay? If you don't have money and you want my CD, that's cool. But don't lie to me about what you got, okay? And so anyway, we exchanged phone numbers. And one day out the blue, this guy called me. Hey, bro, I want to do a song with you. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, what's this going? He was like, it's time to change. And, you know, when he said that, I was like, wow, that's interesting. You know, so the Spirit of God asked me, what sparked that about? And he was like, man, I'm dealing with a whole bunch of stuff in my life. And I moved from here down to, you know, another place. And, man, I need God, you know. So I was like, okay, so are we talking about a song or are we talking about for real? So because of that situation, while we were on the phone, I was able to speak into his life, and he gave his life to God over the phone, right? Now, I'm excited because I'm like, man, and guess what? We never did a song, right? But I was more concerned with his soul than just a song, okay? Unfortunately, we have people that be like, oh, man, I need this big person on my album. I could pay him. Let me get him on. And there's no concern about their spiritual life. It's just, let's just do a song together just because you're nice. Man, if can't do that. Always, you can't do that. You have to make a decision who you're going to serve. Amen? Verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God. Then it says, when you're filled with the Spirit, you also give thanks always for all things. Somebody say all things. to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting only through the Holy Spirit can you submit to one another in the fear of God. How does that work? Submitting to one another. And, you know, the church makes the submit word such a bad word, right? You submit, right? I'm the pastor. You better submit, right? They use that word like, I don't know if anybody, you got to be in church long enough, but I've seen it before, right? You better submit because I'm the man of God and I have control of your soul. And like, no, you don't. Not really. Let's be real. Okay. What I'm saying, though, is through the Spirit of God, we are able to submit to one another and honor and reverence one another. Amen. When you have the Spirit of God, even as a leader, you're not going to be, oh, I'm high and mighty. No, you're not. You realize that without God, I am nothing. I can't even stand before you and think that without God, I'm a good person. Without God, I'm jacked up. I'll tell you this. Without God, I will not even be close to church. Why? Why waste my time if I'm not really living for the Lord? But through the Spirit of God, he puts a desire in me to come and serve and be amongst people that love God. That only comes through the Spirit. Amen? So that's where I'm going to end today. Fellowship is very important. We need to praise for what God does, even amongst our brothers and sisters. And we need the Spirit of God to teach us how to walk together, to how to encourage, to how to build. See, the Spirit of God, at times, he will tell you, call somebody. That person is going through something. Give them a call. They need a call right now. Right? Because it's important. And it's important that we hear and heed to the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, buddy. Hold my hand. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. I pray to God that your word would continue to speak to us. Even as we leave this place, dear God, that we hear what your word has to say about fellowship, God, that we would go beyond just coming to church. Some of us, dear God, that we would enjoy fellowshipping with each other, that we would share your word with each other. We would rejoice with one another. Dear God, that we be excited about the things of God, not only in our lives, but in everybody else's lives that serves you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.